Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Flavor Living Radio. This is Brian. Today's Sunday, the 16th of March, and tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day. Yes, we're going, already leading up. We started St. Patrick's Day last week, you know, with a lot of the green, the beef, the cabbage, the potatoes, everything. And look, today we're going to take you to different places. We're going to go to Savannah, Georgia. This is the home of St. Patrick's Day. If anybody wants to know and you want to one day plan a trip, you have to go to Savannah, Georgia. This is the place where you will see everything St. Patrick's. Everything. I mean, hats, people, laughter, bands, the whole works. But we took a visit this year because, you know, we possibly may go there next year for kind of like a remote show. But this year, we visited called them, yes, a well-known place called Kevin's Berry Irish Pub, and we talked to Tara Reese. She's in charge of the marketing, and you know, we learned a lot. Listen in, but we want to get back to some more music, and then after that, tune in for our interview in Savannah, Georgia.
Well, we are in Savannah, Georgia. Let me get that straight. This is like Savannah, Georgia, the top destination for St. Patrick's Day. And we are at this awesome pub called Kevin Berry. If you Google Kevin Berry anywhere, they're the top pub, one of the top pubs in the nation, in the United States, nation, everything, as far as the work.
Yes,
that's true? Is that true? That's true.
Oh, I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Yes, isn't that true? That's true that you guys are the top in the nation as far as pubs, Irish pubs.
We have been cited as one of the top five Irish pubs to visit by ABC News, and we are very proud of that. We like to embrace our Irish heritage here in Savannah, Georgia. And Kevin Berry on River Street has definitely gone above and beyond. Being a top Irish pub.
Wow. So, and by the way, everybody, this is Tara from Kevin Berry's Pub. Say hello to everybody.
Hi, y'all. How are y'all doing?
Yeah. So listen, in a couple of days, next week, or this week, tonight, you guys are going to just really, I heard about 2 million people come through Savannah, Georgia.
Right. This year it's going to be a smaller scale because St. Patrick's Day is on a Monday, but we are still expecting a very large number of guests to enter through Kevin Berry. So it will be crazy. If you come visit us, please have your IDs ready and be prepared to wait. We will serve you social networking devices, otherwise known as alcohol and beverages, while you wait, though.
So. Okay. Did you get that? Social network devices.
Social networking tools.
Yes. Now, listen, how did Kevin Berry get started in Savannah? How did that work? Really, I just want to know how did Savannah get picked as a destination? It's like the Walt Disney of St. Patrick's Day.
It is. Kevin Berry's, we've been around for 33 years on River Street. Our owner, Vic, is from New York, and he wanted to open up a little Irish pub. and he decided that Savannah would be the best place to do it because we have such a deep Irish tradition. Savannah has been doing the parade for 190 years now.
No way.
We started that tradition. Yeah, yeah. Savannah is definitely a top destination. We started our St. Patrick's Day festivities, well, our Irish festivities, in Blary every year with the Irish Fest kickoff, and then it goes to Celtic Cross. And we got Terra Fest this weekend, and then, of course, the big parade on Saturday is a big, you know, climax to the whole shebang. But, yeah, we're very proud to, you know, honor this great tradition.
Wow. Now, are you guys going to be serving, you know, we're a food radio show, Flavor Living. Are you guys going to be serving some Irish foods, different type of food there?
Oh, absolutely. We have a limited menu, and it is all Irish. We have our Irish fare, our Irish sampler. We're going to have some Irish drinks. Of course, Guinness and Jameson are on the menu, as well as Bailey's.
You got to have
the
Guinness, right?
This weekend. Okay. Yeah, it's going to be a little cold, so we're going to have some Irish coffee as well. So
okay,
we're going to make sure everybody enjoys their Irish.
That comes there. It doesn't make a difference where they're from. They're going to enjoy. Now, do you guys have corned beef and cabbage?
We're going to have like a corned beef on rye, corned beef and cabbage, Reuben. Oh, my gosh, I just looked at the menu earlier, and I can't even think of everything we're going to have. Like, shepherd's pie is definitely on the menu.
Oh!
Yeah, and we're known for our shepherd's pie. So if you come to Canterbury, definitely order a couple. So.
Okay, wow. So some shepherd's pie. Now, listen, tell us some good stories. I mean, you guys have been there for many years, so tell us some good stories. I mean, this is the day where people just kind of, you know, their Irish comes out on level 10 plus, you know?
It does. I can say that from a personal standpoint, before I started working at Kevin Berry's, I always know that, like, I've made a lot of good friends at Kevin Berry's over the years, and it never fails. If I lose touch with him, I can always guarantee you that Thursday before St. Patrick's Day, I will always run into them, and we always pick up where we left off.
like from a year late, from past year, you just bam, just continue.
Exactly. And our good friends from the Irish military, they come every year, so it's always exciting to see them. We encourage these guys to bring their pipes and their drums, and they play, they get on stage with our Irish musicians, and, you know, they share the stage, and it's great. Like, we love the, you know, everybody starts talking, and it's like nobody is a stranger on St. Patrick's Day in Savannah, Georgia.
Wow. Well, I was looking at a YouTube video, and there was just, you know, hundreds and thousands of people walking down the parade there, you know, just going down there, you know. So,
absolutely. It's wall-to-wall people on River Street, and once you get into Kevin Berry's Spot Club, we absolutely encourage you to sit and stay a while and enjoy it, you know? Just enjoy everything that's around you. So.
I mean, that's just great. Yeah, you know, because you guys are ranked the top of the line just there. Now, does the staff, do you guys sing, do you sing there? Are you one of the singers there? Do you sing there?
Actually, no, I'm the PR and marketing director, and I do group sales.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I get paid to talk to people, which is awesome.
Right. And that's why you're talking to me. You're talking on Flavor Living.
Exactly.
About, you know, Kevin Berry. So.
Exactly. Yeah. And additionally, another thing that we're trying, not only are we a top Irish bar, but we're also a military bar. We've actually been ranked on military.com as a top military bar in the world.
No way.
So that's it. Yeah, if you go upstairs to our second floor, it's called the Hall of Heroes, and
okay,
we have a tribute hall. The whole room upstairs is dedicated to the military, as well as in Liberty Hall, which talks about the Irish, Republic and independence, which is amazing. So we're talking about all trying to tie it in together.
Yes, I did some history, the research on the IRA, you know, as far
right.
as in Dublin and Ireland. So I did some research on that. So. Wow. So,
yeah.
So really, the different military people from different branches go there from the Army, Navy, from Ireland.
Yeah.
They all just come they all come together on that day, you know, on this week.
Yeah, we're all comrades. We're all comrades, and, you know, we welcome, like, you know, sailor people, military all over the world, whether you're from Canada or England or Ireland or, of course, the United States, we welcome you and we encourage you to stop in and say hello and, you know, have a drink and, you know, talk and enjoy everything. So,
wow. Well, Tara, thank you for being on Flavor Liberty and telling us about Kevin Berry's top Irish pub with Irish food, Irish drinks, laughter, dancing, and military. The military, they have the top military bar there on the top floor. And bagpipes, the whole works. Green, leprechaun, shamrock, everything.
Well, we try to stay away from the leprechauns and shamrocks and rainbows and try to stay true to our Irish tradition. But absolutely, you know, we tell people, you know, when you're in Ireland and you want to hear what's the story, what's going on, you say, what's the crack? You know, what's the good times? So we encourage our visitors to come in and enjoy some crack. So C-R-A-I-C.
So what's the crack? Is that it?
What's the crack?
What's the crack? Cool. Well, listen, thank you for being on our show. And what's the crack, Tara?
What's the crack? The crack is happening at Kevin Day.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. And happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you, too. Be safe and have fun.
All right. Bye now.
All right, bye-bye.
That was Tara Reese from Kevin Berry's Irish Pub. You know, we try to bring you guys, you know, some interesting, cool stories, some good food stories, and some good stories that kind of blend in with our food stories, you know, restaurants and chefs. And Savannah, Georgia, that's just every year this has been going on for a long time, for a while, you know. And that is Kevin. If you guys look it up, Kevin's Berry's Irish Pubs, it's tops. It is top in the United States and world. And it's right here in the States. Now, you know, as I was looking around Savannah, there was another pub that was there. It was really, now Kevin's Berry is tops, but there was another pub called Molly McPherson's. And I talked to those guys in this story, one of the gentlemen that we talked to, he was telling me that 1 year there was about 40 people that were kind of looking inside of the window, not inside, but they were looking outside the bar. They were wondering. So all the staff members from Molly McPherson's came out and they said, hey, you guys, come on in. You know, come on in. So they all came in. And, you know, they were having a good time. And what happened was everybody, all the 40 people were related. They were all like cousins, uncles, nephews, and they were taking a family trip to Savannah to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. And they all came in. Now, 10 years later, they're still going to Molly McPherson's. They're, you know, because I asked them, are all the family members all from one location? And they told me the family members fly in from different locations, from Alaska, from, you know, Virginia, North Carolina, all these different places. And they all fly in to meet during St. Patrick's Day, and all 40 people. And I just thought that was amazing. So, you know, but we're moving on. We have some more information. So you remember that the city in Massachusetts is called Boston, like the Boston Celtics, New England Patriots, the Boston. You know, I'm trying to get my Boston accent out of Boston, but we ran into a place called the Irish Village, and you will never guess who we interviewed somebody. Guess where this gentleman's from. His name is Karen, just guess, listen to the accent and see where he's from. This is Boston, Massachusetts.
All right. We're here on Flavor Living Radio. We had to go to another location in America that has a reputation for Irish pubs and restaurants. And we're on the phone in Boston, Massachusetts, a location called the Irish Village. And we're on the phone with Kara. Is that that's correct?
That is correct, Jeff.
Yes. Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, thanks. Yourself?
Oh, no. Well, you're cool. You must be from Ireland because you have an Irish accent. You must be from Ireland.
I'm from Ireland, Jeff.
Yeah, where are you from in Ireland?
County Galway. Tristan. So that's where I'm from.
Ah, so that would be what part of Ireland? South or north?
Maybe south, yeah, the western part.
Ah, enough said, enough said.
Yeah.
Tell us about the Irish village. I know Boston is known for having traditions, Irish traditions, and tell us about the Irish village.
The Irish village, I've been the Irish village since 1970. I've been with one family, the Lees, and I've been working here like 25 years. So,
wow.
Yeah, so I've known the dad, well, the dad is from where I'm from at home, so, and they're a decent family, decent Irish family, you know, so.
Mm.
Yeah,
what?
So I've been bartending here, managing whatever, you know, so.
You said everything there, making sure everything works?
Everything works, yeah.
Yes. Now, you know, I saw something, it's called the Southie Parade in Boston. Now, what is that, what is the, the meaning behind the Southie Parade?
Well, it's South Boston Parade. Yeah, that's where the parade is being going on, like, maybe, well, 100 years plus, you know, but that's where the biggest part of the Irish population was, you know, so. There's still a good amount of Irish living over there. And, it's a tradition. It's been going on, like, over 100 years, so.
Oh, wow. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Wow. So if you go to Boston, you go to Boston.
If you want to Boston, you got to go to the South Boston Parade. Yeah, it's a fun time.
Wow. So basically, if somebody's from Boston, you say, hey, where are you from? You say, I'm from the Southie.
Yes and no. I mean, Southie now is, there's a lot of construction going on over there, a lot of young kids moving in, so they're not actually Irish-American, whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
so. It's changing, it's Irish a bit. I mean, there's more other people living there now, so. But they still do have I think the veterans there, they organize the parade, and they still have a good bit of Irish over there, you know. But it's changing, you know, with times.
Now, listen, now, what type of, I know as far as the Irish tradition, as far as corned beef, just everything, what type of foods are there or are going to be at the Irish village, you know?
We don't have a kitchen at the moment, so we're bringing in sandwiches from one of our other restaurants. It'll be complimentary corned beef sandwiches served during the day.
Oh, okay, that's nice.
Yeah, come in and get a, if you have a pint of Guinness or whatever you want to enjoy, I can have a corned beef sandwich and they're freshly made on the day, so.
Okay.
Good.
Cool. So do you know, since you're from Ireland yourself, you cook traditional Irish meals at home. What type of meals do you kind of prepare yourself, you know?
When I was growing up in Ireland, we did have corned beef, which over there was more like boiled ham.
Ah.
Yeah, so, but corned beef is more of American tradition.
I noticed that. Okay. So in Ireland, if you go to Ireland, you won't see corned beef on the menu. No.
Not really, no. It's more so over here, you know.
So what would you see there? What type of dishes do you see there, then?
Usually, when I was growing up, we'd have a lot of roast beef dinners, and not a lot of meat and potato, but either roast beef, boiled ham, all that good stuff, you know, so, you know. But corned beef, I think, is more of American tradition.
Okay.
You know, I think it's from the Second World War, right, when meat was expensive back then.
Yes. Right. Wow.
Yeah.
So hey, you just taught me something. Now is the Irish village, is it now, when you say Irish village there in Boston, is it a whole bunch of different buildings that have different, is it like a...
No, it's a neighborhood bar. It's been called the Irish village, yeah. It's just the name of a small little neighborhood bar in Brighton.
Okay. I've heard of the word Brighton before. That's cool.
Yeah, which is part of Boston. It's under the... Boston City Hall. Yeah, but it's a small little Irish bar. It's been called Irish Village, and I think it's a great name for an Irish bar.
Yeah, I was thinking it's like a whole bunch of buildings, you know, like a section of Boston.
No buildings, no.
So that's what I was thinking about.
Where are you located at?
I am, our station in our, we're broadcasting from Hampton Roads, Virginia. So near...
North Virginia, okay.
Yeah, it's like a Virginia Beach, Norfolk, Hampton, Virginia, Chesapeake,
okay.
Center. So that's where we're from.
No, nice country down there.
Yeah, very, you know, ocean too. Ocean like Boston, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a lot of ocean here too. So, Yeah. Now listen, I know I'm asking today for some good stories, St. Patrick's stories, that people that have come to the Irish village. And I know you just kind of, you know, put these stories on the shelf, but you kind of remember some good stories. So tell us, like a, you know, a customer comes in and bam, so tell us some good stories.
I can tell you, he earned it too. No, actually, he cost me a coffee outside the road, and now my brain is thinking, you know, so. No, but when people come in here, like, and they realize that I'm from Ireland, and the people are not, you know, if they're not used to the Irish, they'll ask me where I'm from, and then, yeah, I tell them where I'm from, and, you know, give them good stories about Ireland, and they say, wow, yeah, and then they ask me, how come it's so green, and he can tell them, oh, it rains a lot over there, you know? No, but it's, you know, I mean, how many people here like that wouldn't know Ireland pretty well, and then, you know, you try and tell them, you know, whatever goes on over there, the way we were brought up, and... But Ireland is this time of year, I think people appreciate Ireland a bit more. I mean, the St. Patrick's Day and all that, you know, that's sort of like bring the Irish up more or whatever, you know. So.
So you're saying basically in the way America looks at St. Patrick's Day is different than the people from Ireland, how they look at it.
You know, there's people here that are of Irish descent, and they are proud to wear the green, or to wear the shamrock, or to come in, and they're like, it's, you know, I've seen people coming into this bar over so many years, they might not see them another time of the year, but they come in on St. Patrick's Day, and they wear the green, and they say, how are you doing? It's a year later, and here, a year gone, and you meet them again, you know, so it's nice, you know, it's, and people like listen to the music, and, you know, and they like to get together, talk about times or whatever, you know. So,
yeah, that's what I see. You know, it's a good time to share. You know, just to share. You know, so
yeah.
Cool. Well,
all right.
You know, well, listen, Carrot. It's Carrot.
Right?
Carrot. Thank you for being on the show on Flavor Living Radio, and we are talking to the Irish Village in Boston.
All right.
South Boston. I gotta get that right. South Boston. Yes.
All right, buddy.
Thanks a lot. Hey, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Hey, you too. Thanks a lot, buddy.
You're not. Right. You got it.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, we are back from the Irish Village. Did you guys guess? Did you guess where the accent was from? And before we even started, before we even took the trip to Boston, did you guys guess or, you know, hear the accent? Yes, from Ireland, since St. Patrick's Day is really less than, well, depending on the, as far as the time zone, but St. Patrick's Day is around the corner on Monday. So we had to give it like a pre-St. Patrick's Day food show. And, you know, there was a similar item I was trying to kind of get from Savannah and Boston, but finally we caught up with someone that can deliver also this good, let me stop there. I got to stop here. So here's what happened.
Okay, we are back on here. This is on Flavor Living Radio. Listen, we've been calling around. We've called Savannah. We called Boston. And we wanted to find out, you know, all the places that we call, we are asking for a good St. Patrick's Day story. So, listen, I had to call a person who's a true storyteller. And how are you doing, Robert? How's it going?
All right. I'm known as True Thomas the Storyteller.
Yes. Okay. On the air on Flavor Living Radio, we're a food show, but we're just going to, this is St. Patrick's Day, our St. Patrick's Day food show. You have to tell us a story, because you're a storyteller. So tell us a good story.
I am.
Yes, I'm ready.
First of all, you have to understand that the Celts have thousands and thousands of stories.
Okay.
You have to kind of give me a little more idea of how long you want it and what kind of story you're looking for.
Just a brief St. Patrick's Day story, like a good story, you know, like a good one. You know, I know you probably have thousands of them, but maybe just
right. Well,
one that comes to mind. Anything that comes to mind.
Well, How about this? How about I tell you a little bit about St. Patrick?
That's perfect. That would be perfect for St. Patrick. That would be perfect.
All right. So, all right. so here's a little bit about the history of St. Patrick, and that is that a lot of people don't realize that he was actually probably born in what would be called now England. He was raised in a Roman family.
Okay.
His father was a centurion, and he was around the age of 14. He was captured by a raider or a pirate named Niall of the Nine Hostages, and he was taken back to Ireland and forced to be a slave. And he was out there in the cold and the wet and the miserable, just having a horrible time of it. But during that time, he learned to speak the Irish.
Okay.
Gaelic. And at that time, he had visions. And one of the visions said, go down and meet the boat. And he went down and he found a boat and he escaped. And he made it back to his home. And then later on, he decided to become a priest. And he went to France and he moved up through the ranks. And then he had another vision saying that he should go back to Ireland and convert the people. Now, at the time, there had been other missionaries, but these missionaries had not been successful like Patrick was going to be because he spoke the language so fluently.
Right.
And he landed there. They had never seen anything like him. He was a very tall, imposing featured person, and he had a very sharp features, and they called him Old Axe Head or Ag's Head. And he always felt bad that he had never learned Latin as well as he should have.
Yeah.
We have some writings, some actual letters, everything that are attributed to him.
Okay.
And he went out there and he proceeded to convert. Now, it was a rough time, and some people, you know, went to it willingly and other people didn't. He actually wrote, there's a prayer attributed to him called the Deer's Cry.
Hmm.
Which it said that when he said the prayer, it allowed him and his converts to have the illusion of being deer, so that the warrior chieftains wouldn't attack him. Later on, he goes on to establish several things, and it originally, St. Patrick actually died of old age and lived a good long life,
okay.
And he was made the patron saint of Ireland. St. Patrick's Day was not that big of a deal in Ireland. It became a big deal here in the U.S. when all the Irish were forced to immigrate to the U.S. during the Troubles.
Gotcha.
And a lot of what we consider traditional Irish food, right, is actually stuff that was picked up along the way. For instance, corned beef is not traditionally an Irish dish. That was something that the Irish people living in the tenements of New York and Chicago picked up from their Jewish neighbors.
You know, I talked to somebody, I was talking to somebody at the Irish Village in Boston, and he said the same thing. Exactly, he said the same thing.
Yep.
As far as the famine and as far as the meat is concerned back in the past.
Right. And the thing is Irish food is really filling and wonderful. So you see the soda breads and the potatoes and the salmon and everything. They're very proud of their dairy industry. And so if you ever want to try a really great Celtic dish, I recommend Colcannon.
Cannon.
Which is Colcannon. It's a combination of potatoes and cream and bacon and cabbage, and it's all whipped together. And it's a heart attack on a plate. It's delicious. It's very...
It sounds like a stew. Like a stew.
No. It's pink potatoes, but with cabbage and everything mixed in. So it's got more of a texture of like mashed potatoes.
Okay.
But it's got a little bit of salt, pork, and cream, and butter, and it's just delicious. A lot of people think that corned beef and cabbage is the only thing. And the truth is the Irish have tons of great recipes that you can look at.
Okay.
And interestingly enough, potatoes are not native to Ireland. And
no way.
The reason, they were imported from South America. The reason the potatoes became important to the Irish was at the time, the English had taken over Ireland, and they wanted to use as much land to produce crops so they could grow grain for export. And what happened was they brought in potatoes, which could produce a mass amount of food in a very small amount of land. And so they forced the Irish, the tenement farmers, into smaller and smaller plots, and they were all growing potatoes. But the problem is the potatoes they had were not really well designed for dealing with wet, rainy weather.
Mm.
And so what happened was the first year they started to have the problems with the potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with potatoes is you don't necessarily know that they're bad until you dig them up.
Sure, because the outside didn't show on the surface. Right.
Right. And so you don't dig them up until you think they're right. And what happened was by the second year of wet, rainy weather, the blight had moved across Ireland. And then they started digging up, and they realized they had a food shortage of monumental proportions.
Mm.
And so even though the Irish were, at the time, you know, a tremendously productive country, suddenly you had millions of people who had no food. And that's, later on, they figured out what the problem was, and but that's one of the reasons why potatoes became such a big part of the Irish cuisine. That was pretty much what they had to eat. And it was said that a laborer in Ireland during that time period would eat 16 pounds of potatoes a day.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But they didn't have much else to eat. So
you're saying, if I got this straight, you're saying that basically the country, England came to Ireland, and they said, hey, we want to produce potatoes here. And that's
well,
how the potatoes?
No, actually it was, Ireland has always been a massively productive country.
Yes.
Because it's in a beautiful situation.
Yes, great land, great soil, everything. Right.
Right. But what they wanted to do is they wanted to export grain. And they wanted to use as little land as possible to feed the native Irish.
Okay.
And so they forced the Irish into these little tiny patches, and the one plant that they could find that could produce enough food to feed the Irish was potatoes.
Gotcha.
So, but anyhow, what happens is when they come, when the Irish immigrate to Canada, the U.S., and all around the world, they wanted something to rally around, and they chose St. Patrick. Coincidentally, green was not the original color of Ireland. Blue was. Yep, sky blue. And so the Irish decided to start having parades here in the U.S. to St. Patrick, whereas St. Patrick back in Ireland, back in those days, was just mainly a religious holiday. It was pretty quiet. Nobody really celebrated.
Right.
But in New York and Chicago, and because of all the millions of Irish in the U.S., it became a much, much bigger holiday. Well, the funny thing is because of the American, Irish Americans loving St. Patrick so much, it is now again a big holiday in Ireland.
Wow. So it kind of went back and forth. It kind of, Ireland, America, back to Ireland to be elaborate now. I mean, a big day, huge event.
Exactly. So does that answer some of your questions?
That answered a lot of questions as far as potatoes and, I was wondering, in the Caribbean, a lot of people in the Caribbean have Irish names,
Yes. Now,
Kelly.
And there's a reason for that. Because during the time when the 1500s, 1600s, the Irish were actually being sold into slavery or into tenant laborers, which is pretty much the same thing as being slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And so what was happening, they were actually sold into slavery and they were forced to work in the cane fields. And there are islands like in Tobago and Canary Islands and places like that where people actually speak a mixture of African and Irish languages. But, and so what happened is that the Irish who were sold into slavery or, these brutal lives along the coast of the Carolinas and places like that, they were essentially forced off their land for being broke and then sold. interestingly enough, there was a point in U.S. history, if you see games of New York where there's all the interracial battles and everything, it really is like, starving rats being forced. Everybody was so poor at that point, you know, the racism and the religious intolerance and everything was really bad.
Right, and then everybody having their cliques. I saw that everybody was having their different cliques, you know, a different...
Well, another thing that happened was during the American Spanish-American War, the Irish who were getting off the ships were forced to fight for the American side. And they went down and they fought down against the Mexicans, and a group of them looked across the wall, essentially, and said, why are we, who are Catholics, fighting other good Catholics? And so a big group of them actually went and fought on the Mexican side.
Right, and said, hey, what's going on? This doesn't, they're like, this doesn't make sense.
Right, and guess what the name of their unit was? It was called the San Patricio Brigade, the St. Patrick Brigade.
No way.
And they fought, right, and they fought on the Spanish side. A lot had a D burned on their face for a deserter. But the ones that survived actually moved down to Veracruz and places along the along that part of Mexico. And that's why you see Spanish people with names like Barragan, which is Barragan. Or you see Diego O'Reilly Garcia.
Wow.
They actually have Irish ancestry.
Wow. Wow. Well, we ask
and,
for... Yes. More.
And the interesting thing is that at the end of the American Civil War, you have all these Irish who were now train fighters, and they wanted to free Ireland, but they didn't have the money. And so they decided that they were going to pull together troops, and they created what they called the Fenian Army and marched up into Canada. And so a group of Irish Americans, or essentially Irish, attacked a friendly country from the U.S. with the idea that they were going to free French Quebec. And then the French Quebec would help them free Ireland.
Wow. So they said, hey, we need more people. Let's go help them out. And in turn, they'll help us out.
and the funny thing was, is at the time, Canada didn't have a military. And so to get these guys back out of Canada, the Canadians got together and they pulled together one of their first armed forces. And so the Irish... American Army that attacked from New York up into Niagara actually helped create the Canadian military.
No way.
I beg you not.
No way.
One of the leaders of this force actually became a school teacher in Minnesota.
Wow.
History is always stranger than fiction.
Wow. Now, we asked for a story, and we got a story. A true story from as far as the history of Ireland and St. Patrick's Day, we got a story.
Well, my name is True Thomas, the storyteller. I've been telling traditional Celtic stories. What I gave you was just a bit of history, but I actually tell the stories of Finn McCool, Cathalan, the Hound of Ulster, Brian Boru.
Where can people find you as far as, they're looking for...
That's very simple. You can find me on Facebook as True Thomas the Storyteller, or you can look for me. You can find me on the web at truthomas.com, and it's truthomas.com.
All right. Well, ma'am, thank you. Robert, thank you for telling us a story for St. Patrick's Day on Flavor Living Radio. Again, we are a food show, but we had to bring a true storyteller on our show. We had to tell us the history and the truth behind St. Patrick's Day. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
We're back. That was the storyteller about St. Patrick's Day and St. Patrick's, the original St. Patrick's, the Irish culture, And just you know, telling us what's really the truth about what's, you know, the Ireland and America, just everything, you know. And listen, thanks for tuning in to listen to our show today. We went to Savannah, home of St. Patrick. We went to Boston, and we are back on air. And listen, I ran across a choir, and they sing this song. And this is a song that you hear on St. Patrick's Day a lot of times, and it's an award-winning choir, and they sing this song very well. So listen, drive safe, eat well, and tune in next time to Flavor Living Radio for our next show here today. And I'm wearing green myself. I'm wearing green hat, green socks, green, everything green. And my favorite shake is a Shamrock Shake. So listen, make sure you get a Shamrock Shake if you can tomorrow, even that, you know. But have some great food, and tune in again and listen to us again. All right.
Restaurants and recipes with events.